flashes of brilliance.
Yep, and the rest of it is just pure dreck.
Yep, this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And
here to boost our, well, our lack of dreck.
Trying to elevate our intelligence level.
Trying to erase the dreck. We have NASA with us this morning. We have Brian Petty and Kyle Smalling. And NASA is exploring using drones for transplant organ transport. Boy, is that a sticky wicket.
That's a mouthful.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a great idea, but the execution has got to be flawless on this, because you've got literally a life in the balance.
That and, you know, distances are everything. This is a big country, so we're talking like metropolitan areas you're going to serve or what? Or actually, remote areas probably makes more sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, so it's kind of designed for both concepts. So we're looking at using those drones to take organs from where they harvest them. So whenever an organ becomes available, they'll find out who needs it, and then they can fly that organ to wherever that person is. And instead of going through the roads, maybe hitting traffic, having to worry about that, you can get a direct flight and hopefully do it pretty autonomously as well.
What kind of ranges are you talking about? 100 miles, 10 miles?
It depends on the aircraft you use.
Okay.
So for the aircraft that we tested, it was, I think, about 7 miles, Kyle?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, about 7 miles. And we're planning...
No, go ahead.
Oh, we're thinking it's like a last mile delivery where if it's an interstate kind of organ transplant, you would bring a crewed aircraft to fly it in the long distance, and then your last like 7 miles going inner city is where you'd use the drone to really speed up the traffic area.
Right, there. So from airport to hospital.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
That's a great idea, but now, some metropolitan areas, it's going to be a handful, like, you know, Philadelphia or New York, because, you know...
Don't get it mixed up with the pizza delivery, okay?
Yeah, really. The traffic patterns in both of those places are horrendous, and not only that, but you've got a lot of man-made obstacles as well. It's not going to do anybody any good if you fly into a building by accident.
Yep. I believe there's a company in Rwanda that's doing this. They're doing blood and stuff like that, though.
So I believe that's Zipline. Is that
yes? Zipline. That's it. Yes. Mm-hmm. And have you? I'm sure you guys have been talking to them and looking at how their business, how their model works, and their aircraft.
Yeah. So we they're part of the Beyond Visual Line of Sight Consortium in America. So. But they've been delivering blood samples and I think vaccines and stuff like out in Rwanda probably for the last few years. So that concept is kind of now coming to America, where we're working with the United Network of Organ Sharing, or UNOS, to try to make that a reality.
Now, you're not talking, they're using a catapult launch fixed wing,
right?
And it parachutes the load. I don't think you're planning on doing quite that.
No, so we're using, we tested with a quadcopter.
Okay.
So we had a cooler pretty much strapped to the top of a quadcopter, flying around, collecting data on basically how the organ handles all the vibrations and loads during the transition.
Well, that's something I wouldn't even think about. Yeah, you don't want to damage it.
Yeah, exactly. So we were helping them collect data on that, and just to see if we have a viable organ at the start, are we going to have a viable one at the end? Because that's key step one to making this reality.
Right. The flying challenges there are pretty much easier to solve.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
But keeping the organ intact and in one piece for the donor, or not for the donor, the recipient, that's the trick.
Yeah, the donor, he's pretty much done with it.
So. Yeah. It's a shame, too, because, organ donations are fantastic, but the problem is somebody has to die to do it.
Yep.
That's the bad part.
So you envision... How many? Well, I mean, this is very, very preliminary at this point, right?
Yeah. So we're doing an initial data collection for in our partnership with UNOS. But at least from the data that I've seen come out of it, it looks pretty promising that the organs will do fine with the vibrations and things that you would see within the flight itself. So the idea is to hopefully expand upon that and actually start setting up Beyond Visual Line of Sight operations for those types of deliveries. And they're based out of Richmond, where we're working with them from, so Richmond, Virginia.
Okay.
So there's some hospitals there that are looking to start doing this for just logistical transport between the hospitals within the city.
Nice.
What kind of altitudes are you going to be flying at?
So typically these will be below 400 feet above ground. So if it's for short trips, it's typically going to be below 400 feet. If you're doing long, like cargo transport from airport to airport, it'd probably be a little bit higher.
Okay.
Are there any restricted areas that you're concerned with when you start implementing this commercially?
So like restricted airspace and things
restricted
like that?
Restricted airspace, no yeah. fly zones.
Yeah. You got to plan it all around it.
Yeah. So part of the operational considerations is to, you know, kind of know what airspace you're in, have some type of operational planning around where you're going to fly, planning your route and things like that. I know where we did our testing, we're right in the airspace of the Class Delta of Langley Air Force Base. So
yeah, they'd get upset, wouldn't they?
Yeah. So we have a letter of procedure with them about how we operate drones within that airspace. And so we're typically coordinating with tower when we do stuff like that. So imagine something similar would have to happen for other restricted airspaces as well.
Well, what about wildlife preserves? I mean, you're going to be running into these, and there are always chance of a bird strike. That would be a mess.
Yeah, so...
just another organ donor.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry, that's a little dark, but anyway.
We've actually had pretty good luck with the wildlife in and around our center at NASA Langley. Our copters fly slow enough and they're loud enough that typically birds will get out of our way. So I could see maybe if we transition to a fixed-wing aircraft that's, you know, going more than 40 knots, it might start to become a problem. But with the aircraft that we're using now, it's typically wildlife is our avoidance. They're avoiding us. We're not having to avoid them.
Right.
Okay.
What's a weight limitation? Because, I mean, the organ, I have no idea what a heart weighs, but I imagine the ice to keep it cold weighs a whole lot more.
So the payload that we were flying weighed about 12 pounds.
Okay.
The organ itself was closer to half a pound. It was a kidney, and we chose a kidney specifically because they're pretty hardy, and you don't need to have the active devices to keep it alive. Where if you did go with a heart or some other organ, you might need, you know, electronic devices and an active pump to continue having fluid move through it.
Right.
Where the kidneys are pretty robust on their own. So that's why we chose to start with that. It's a nice low-level bar to get the ball rolling, and then maybe in the future we'll expand to more complicated scenarios.
Okay. One kidney at a time? Yeah, they come in pairs.
Yeah, I can imagine that. I think with our testing, we had room for just one.
Right.
But you could size up the aircraft a little bit and probably fit more than just one with that. So it depends on the type of airframe you're using for the delivery.
Are there plans to implement multi-organ transplant or transport?
I think it really depends on what's the need of the patients.
Right.
Well, I guess I'm not a medical professional, so I don't know. Typically, you know, do they need two kidneys at once? Is it one kidney at a time? So that would really be the requirement that drives what we have to design a system to do.
Well, another thing that you'd have to be aware of are the physical size of the organs. If you were transplanting lungs, they're pretty sizable.
Yeah, and from our limited background research, different organs also have different requirements for what it takes to keep them alive. Like, they need different temperatures. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the right word, viable. So different temperatures, different, you know, vibration environments.
Would you guys be looking at, like, you know, establishing a priority corridor for you to fly through? In other words, almost like a TFR would pop up saying, hey, we're going to have an organ flight that goes from here to here. Pay attention.
Yeah, so part of the beyond visual line of sight aspect of this is coordinating with other operators within the air. And so right now, drone operations are coordinated through strategic deconfliction. So basically, you're saying where you're going to be in the airspace and at what time. And there are different priority levels to those different airspace requests, essentially. So this would kind of fall under an emergency airspace request. And then if it's going through another reserved volume at the time, that operator would have to replan around that emergency. So it's kind of like with police officers turning their lights on trying to get to the scene of a crash or something like that.
And that begs to, you know, we're going to have lights and siren on this thing, you know?
Well, I would tend to think that you wouldn't. You'd want it as plain and unmarked as possible, because there are people out there that shoot at these things.
Ah, well.
And that would be a tremendous disaster.
Somehow, I don't know if that actually came up in the design review. How to keep people from shooting at it.
Well, it has to be, you've got to face this head on, because there are numerous cases of people taking out shotguns and rifles, and some of them have been pretty successful in knocking them down.
Yeah, and part of that is the public acceptance aspect of it.
Right.
So before you can start putting things over people's head, you kind of want to go around and inform them of, hey, we're doing these types of operations with these types of vehicles, and, you know, because you don't want to just start doing that without getting that type of public acceptance, because then you run into issues like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we don't want to run into anything.
No.
I would think that weight is everything. You don't want to put a lot of extra stuff on there that doesn't serve much of a purpose.
Right, yeah, because the more payload you have to do the mission, the less useful payload you have, and then the more power requirements you're going to need.
Right.
And, of course, with power comes more weight, because batteries don't weigh nothing.
Yes.
And they don't lose weight as you fly.
No. And, of course, you're going to have built-in redundancies on this, so that if a battery does decide to take a vacation, the flight can continue.
Right. So, yeah, you have to do part of your contingency planning.
All right. Where can we find out more real quick? We gotta go.
So I believe that NASA does a lot of posts on their NASA.gov page on these types of things. We've had some local news stations also cover this. So the Wavy 10 news station down in the Hampton Roads area, that would be a good place to find more about the organ transport. And then as the work with UNOS continues, I'm sure there'll be more press releases coming out on it as well.
Well, I want to say that I'm very happy that you guys are doing this work, but I hope I never need it.
Yeah, really.
This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.